This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Tributes have continued to pour in for the late Sir David Ames MP, who was murdered while hosting a constituency surgery in his Southend seat on Friday. The attack, which is being treated as a terrorist case, has shaken Westminster to its core and has once again highlighted the risks that come with a job that is, by its very nature, so open and accessible to all. The Home Secretary, Priti Patel, was one of many to offer their fond memories of Sir David.
I knew David. I've known him for nearly 30 years. He was a dear, dear friend to me and a fellow Essex MP as well. So just the work we did together, the common causes. And when you're involved in grassroots party politics, you come up together through the grassroots. You support each other. And there are many, many campaigns that David and I have worked on, been together on, common causes. Going to Southend to support him, you know, he'd come to me to support me as well. That was David through and through. And he just had this infectious personality and energy that I think has just touched so many lives.
Trevor Phillips asked Patel about the adequacy of safety measures for MPs and councillors up and down the country and whether change would soon be on the way.
You, for example, because of who you are and job you do, have close protection. Mm. Is it time to consider making it possible for our elected representatives to have that kind of close protection that we would enjoy here in Westminster?
Well, all these issues and options are in consideration right now. So let me just say that. There is a lot of work taking place already.
It's possible that the government might consider supporting those kinds of measures.
So, Trevor, prior to Friday and, you know, just this tragic and appalling attack, There is a programme of work that takes place around the safety and protection of members of parliament in their constituency, and that's working with the police. That's all police forces around the country, how they interact with their MPs and how they look after the MP in their constituency through various protective measures. The Speaker has already put in a range of measures post-Friday, as we have with policing. But within that, there are other options that are being considered, such as when you hold your surgeries, could you have officers or some kind of protection while you're holding your surgery? Now, it's not for me to determine the mechanism for that right now, but there are discussions underway right now looking at a whole spectrum. That's only one example, and there are others as well that are actively under consideration right now.
Turning to other matters, Andrew Marr inquired about the Home Office's grip on preventing the dangerous crossings of the English Channel by migrants based in Calais.
In 2019, you promised that you'd make channel crossings an infrequent phenomenon. And then last year, in August, you said you were working to make the route unviable. Now, so far, 18,000 people have come across in 2021, and that's already more than double the 2020 numbers. So when are you going to get a grip?
So, first of all, we are seeing unprecedented numbers of people, not just crossing the channel or trying to cross the channel, but actually migrants moving around the world. And you just have to look at a lot of the work that takes place upstream. I should also say post-Afghanistan as well. Look at migrant flows and the migrant crisis that are still building up there as well. Pakistan border, Iran border, etc., etc. But you have specifically, and rightly so, challenged and questioned me about crossings from France.
Yeah.
There is no magic solution to this. There is no one solution that is going to stop this, which is why, in terms of the grip that we are bringing, we are working with France, Belgium, near neighbours, around border security and upstream activity based on intelligence and stopping the criminality. This is a criminal network. This is based on criminality. This isn't individuals individually buying bows. This is all networked, and there's a lot of work.
It's not working at the moment.
Well, there are a range of things that we're doing. If I may, I'll come on to that. In the last 12 months alone, the number of attempted crossings has gone up by 140% compared to last year. There have been over 10,000 preventions this year. So when I say this year, I'm speaking January to August this year by France. So we can't say that it's not working.
interceptions are working. The French police, who we are supporting, the gendarmerie, we have a lot of work taking place with France on intelligence and also policing and providing resourcing. That is working, but also the numbers are going up. Which leads me then, Andrew, to some of the measures that we are bringing in place. Again, none of this will be fixed overnight, and I'm very vocal about this. As you know, I've spoken about this many times. No short-term solution, no quick win, no quick fix. That is why we are changing our legislation in the United Kingdom. The National Anti and Borders Bill. We have to end many of the pull factors that are bringing people to the United Kingdom. We want to stop the criminality. We are increasing penalties for people smugglers. We're doing much more in terms of intelligence and cooperation and that sharing upstream as well. We want to do much more on returns agreements. These are the whole, this is a panoply of activity that we are doing.
Philip spoke to the Shadow Foreign Secretary, Lisa Nandy, asking for her feelings on making the job of a constituency MP safer.
What would you do? What would you want to happen now that would make you feel that you could carry out your democratic duties in full confidence that you would be safe?
I'm not sure that we can ever get to that point, if I'm honest. We've had Stephen Timms, one of my colleagues, was stabbed a few years ago. We had the case of the Lib Dem MP before that, whose caseworker was killed. We've had a plot to murder Rosie Cooper, my neighbouring MP, and, of course, what happened to Joe and now David. I'm not sure that that moment is recoverable. I say that with sadness, but I think there's an element of realism about this. MPs are well known in our constituencies. People tend to know where we live. We're out and about. We're normal human beings. We go out and about on the weekends and, you know, go to the local shops. I'm not sure that we can ever eliminate the risk, but I think there are other things that can be done to reduce the risk. I think the suggestion from the Speaker about ensuring that anyone who wants or needs security at surgeries is a good idea, not least because people often know, even if we don't advertise them, that they're happening, and so they can become a magnet for people who want to cause trouble. I think there's more that we can do about the political culture. You alluded to it in the interview with Priti Patel, but I think we really do, all of us in Parliament, need to tone down the rhetoric towards one another, especially when that strays into rhetoric that is dehumanising, that treats people not as other fellow human beings or somehow questions people's motives. Most people go into Parliament, as you've seen with the outpouring of love for David, most people go into Parliament because they want to make things better. We might disagree on how to do that, but we've got to create a better culture if we want to actually achieve it.
Former Prime Minister Gordon Brown also gave his response to Friday's terrible events.
Yeah, Trevor, this is an attack on our democracy. So the answer cannot be less democracy. This looks as if it is a terrorist incident. It is probably related to Al-Shabaab or to Al-Qaeda, and we'll find out more in the next few days. But the answer when you come across a terrorist incident is we don't blink, we don't shirk, we don't flinch, we don't show weakness, we stand up for what we believe, and of course we will increase the security that is available to members of Parliament and councillors when they're doing their surgeries, and that is something that must happen immediately. But it's true also to say that we must not allow our democracy to be diminished because a terrorist attack has occurred. I think the history of dealing with terrorism is that if you ever show weakness and you ever give the impression that coexistence is impossible and that you're going to back away and give up on your values, then you show something that gives terrorists hope. And we must not do that. You know, hearts are broken, but our resolve must be unbreakable. A life has been tragically destroyed, but our values, our democratic values, they are indestructible, and we must show that now.
Ma interviewed Philip Rieker, the acting US ambassador to the UK, and confronted him with an accusation from Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg.
Many climate activists look at what the administration is actually doing and think that you're not doing nearly enough and you're not entirely serious. Let's just hear one of them.
The Biden administration doesn't seem to take the climate crisis the least bit serious, since they are actually expanding fossil fuel infrastructure. So it shows that they are not ready to take action, which is unfortunate, but it was expected, unfortunately.
So what would you say to Greta Thunberg?
I would respectfully disagree and point out that the President Biden has made very clear our focus on this, the importance of this. He has announced not once but twice a doubling, therefore a double doubling of the amount we're putting forward in terms of finance to help other countries, developing countries, meet their goals. And this will very much be discussed in Glasgow in the coming weeks.
But she was saying that, you know, you're forging ahead with fossil fuel infrastructure. And looking at what's going on in America, she's right about that. Looking at what's publicly available in the States in terms of information, the Biden administration has so far approved 2,100 permits for companies to drill for oil and gas on U.S. public lands this year.
And if you look at what they're doing in terms of innovation, new technologies, renewables, the announcement just this very week of wind and building of infrastructure across the coasts for wind, this is very much the focus of the president's infrastructure legislation, which is now being debated in Congress. He's determined to see movement on this as we build back better from recovery of COVID and focus on a green agenda. There has to be a transition here, Andrew, and that's very much what this is about.
And finally, on Times Radio, the Speaker of the House of Commons, Lindsay Hoyle, told Sonia Soda about his ideas for a fitting memorial for Sir David Amess.
I would love to see Southend becoming a city. I think that's the biggest and the greatest thing that we can do for David. I think that, you know, without doubt, that's the first thing we can do. What can the House do? Quite rightly, we recognise the murder of Joe Cox, Joe Shields in the chamber. I would love to see David's coat of arms to remember him, but for us to remember what happened, along with Joe, that terrorism will not succeed. These people will not overcome democracy. And I think it's the strength of feeling by allowing that to happen. And of course, on Monday, we will pay tribute after questions. We will then go to a church service to remember David's life. The fact that David was a friend, a colleague, he was there for all. And I've got to say, this is the beginning, not the end, of paying tributes to this great friend of all.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.